This is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, we are joined by Denise Forey, librarian at Cuesta College, Roz Perini, regional manager with the County Library in San Luis Obispo, and Jackie Kinsey, Morro Bay librarian. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
Nice to be here.
Now, today, we're going to talk about an event that the whole county looks forward to once a year. Denise, what would that be?
Well, I guess we're talking about the Book of the Year. It's about that time of year.
Cuesta Book of the Year, right?
Right, that's right, correct.
And it happens about this time of year, getting ready. The book has been chosen, and there'll be activities
right.
planned, and the author is coming, et cetera.
Exactly. We're kind of gearing up for our program for the next during the next 3-4 weeks, and this will be our 8th year of doing this. So that's actually, we have to start planning for our 10th. I guess that's a high mark.
Be a big celebration.
Yep, there
right
you
on.
Go.
Now, tell me a little bit, anybody, about the history of the Book of the Year. I know there are other programs in other cities and regions, like One City Reads, One County Reads. Is it based on other examples?
I think it kind of just grew up sort of spontaneously at Cuesta, and was a much smaller operation the first year or two, and it kind of was well received. We also benefited from coming up with this at the same time Cal Poly's preface program, which was for freshmen, incoming freshmen, that the funding kind of tanked on that. So we were just starting as they were just leaving, and that was turned out to be a good thing for us. We filled that void.
And the county library had partnered with the preface program, and so when that program ended, we saw a great opportunity mm-hmm. to partner with Cuesta, and it's been a terrific partnership ever
right,
since.
Right, it has been very good.
Roz, in a few words or less, what would be the desired outcome for a people reading a book and sharing that, perhaps meeting the author? What is the sort of takeaway that you'd like people to have?
Well, it's just a wonderful cultural literary experience for the community to come together and all read one book, discuss the themes, and then to have it culminate in visiting the author, having the author visit and sharing, his take and what he was trying to convey with the book.
Now, Jackie, I know that there are events that are planned and the community is invited. Is there anything going on at Morro Bay related to this?
Oh, yeah. Not only at Morro Bay, but at several other branches, there'll be book discussion groups that will be highlighting the book and talking in depth about some of his topics and their interests. At Morro Bay, we have a lady, Marguerite Bader, from the League of Women Voters, coming to discuss her recent trip to the Tijuana with the League of Women Voters called the Tour of Tijuana. And all the people she met on the border there and their relations to the book and the immigration issues.
And that will be on Saturday, March 12th at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. at the Morro Bay Library.
You know, right. And I think we haven't mentioned the name of the author and the name of the book yet.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Hector Tobar is the author. He's written 4 different books. He's a longtime journalist and award-winning author. 20 years with the Los Angeles Times in various reporting capacities, and this is the first of his novels, The Barbarian Nurseries, is the one that we're featuring this time around for our book celebration.
And let's mention, too, since the author visit in person is sort of the highlight of mm-hmm. the activity, what would be the date and location for that?
It's going to be Tuesday, March 15th, and it'll be at the Cuesta College San Luis campus in the theater there. 5 o'clock to 7. I'd get there early, too, and you do need to get tickets. You can do that online today, right now. We'll also have a little reception with some snacks, some live music, and the art gallery adjacent to the theater will be open as well.
All of us are librarians, and all of us have careers that have sort of straddled the move from print and physical media into the electronic media. And one of the interesting assertions or allegations that you will read is that books and reading are obsolete or dead or dying. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's just room for both, and the Book of the Year mm-hmm. program this year is a perfect example. The county library is offering digital copies, and we have a substantial amount of digital copies that we've made available for this. And then we have a lot of print copies, and we have high hold lists on both. So it just shows that there's still room for both, and people are enjoying both formats.
I think of it as synergy.
Absolutely. I don't think that I've seen any big dramatic decrease in our circulation, just an additional circulation with the multimedia sources.
Right.
And I know folks that will not have time to read, hold a book in their hand, but they will listen to the audio version of it driving to work or driving, you know, wherever, up to the Bay Area for the weekend. So,
now, the theme of the book, race relations and ethnic issues in Greater Los Angeles, is very timely because it's a topic that is important to our state, our economy. Any thoughts about how this particular book might tie into some of those current events?
Well, I think it also picks up on the concept of citizenship and assimilation. So it's not just immigrants coming in. It's what happens? You get here. Do you stay? Do you go back to your home country? Do you have an assimilation period that's comfortable, uncomfortable? Do you then work into the community and then you see the next wave of immigrants coming in? So it's sort of that continuum as well.
Well, and I think something that's so fascinating about this book is that we can live with one another and, you know, really, in this case, a family living in the same house as their housekeeper and yet knowing nothing about each other, and just emphasizing the importance of taking that time and getting to know each other's realities.
Yeah, whether they're living in your house or your next-door neighbor, and how important that is.
Lately, in the newspaper, there has been some letters to the editor about lack of diversity in local institutions and maybe suggestions on how to achieve diversity, even some questioning as to the value of diversity. And I was reminded that I have read that it's much easier to be with people of your own ilk, that is, ethnic group or political persuasion, whatever, but you learn a lot more if you spend time with people who are not like you. You overtly go after that, and certainly reading books and getting into the consciousness of a person from another culture is one way to do that.
You know, and that kind of segues, Brian, into the feature film, the documentary film that we're offering two free screenings for. It's called Welcome to Shelbyville. It's about 60 minutes long. I've watched it. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see it. And it's taking a look at a small town in a small town in Tennessee that is in the quote-unquote Bible Belt. And this is three, four, 5 years ago, and you have white residents, African-American residents. They've melded and worked out their community issues, and there's a growing Latino presence. And then suddenly there's a new wave of Somali Muslim residents in this area because of a chicken factory, a Tyson chicken factory. So it takes a look at how does a community grapple with that kind of a melding merger or not. And it's kind of a neutral portrayal, too.
I'll bet you there's in Shelbyville, there's probably some good programs at the library on how people can get along.
That might even show up in the film. I forget. Yeah.
I have read some of the cities that immigrants from Latin America flock to because of work opportunities, and places in Colorado and South Dakota, and you know, you might think of them in the border towns, Texas, Arizona, but they're literally spread out across the whole country because they go where the work is, and often do jobs that local people are not willing to do. Hugely important. Would like to remind everybody that this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library, for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. Today, we are joined by Denise Forey, librarian at Cuesta College, Roz Perini, regional manager for the San Luis Obispo County Library, and Jackie Kinsey, Morro Bay librarian, and they are all engaged in organizing and promoting the Cuesta College Book of the Year, which this year is Hector Tovar's Barbarian Nurseries. Can we talk a little bit about the book? What goes on? Have you read bits of it, or what's the setting?
We've all read it.
I think we've all read it at least twice, if not
without giving away the plot.
One and a half times.
Yeah. The main character, her name is Araceli, and she's the live-in maid to a fairly well-to-do family, the Torres Thompson family, and they have to go through a financial downsizing, the Torres family, and she's the last help standing in the house, and she doesn't really have interactions with the children until one surprising day that it's only her and the two young boys left in the house. And the story kind of continues on with how she deals with being left with these children that don't really understand her, and she doesn't understand the way they were raised, and she makes some very questionable choices, but that's all she knows.
So it's sort of a metaphor, perhaps, for larger groups of people trying to get along and interact with each other.
Yeah. It was, as I read earlier, it's a big misunderstanding and misconception between demographs. So, and you kind of see that the whole way through.
And I would hope, I haven't read the book quite yet, it's on my list, but I would hope that some of those issues are resolved at the end, and maybe people are wiser or more tolerant. And although I have to remind myself, being tolerant means you're putting up with something. It's way different from acceptance or embracing that. Tell me a little bit about, since we are four librarians, how do you see the role of libraries in making things like this happen? You offer the programs, and sometimes people come, but what do you see happening in people's lives when they read a book like this or participate in a program like this? Do you think their lives are changed, or they've learned something they might not otherwise have learned?
I think people are transformed by what they read, and I think we've seen in the growth of the Book of the Year program every year that people are hungry for these kinds of experiences and find them incredibly enriching, whatever the theme of the work is. But we do always try to choose books that have themes that would provide discussion and growth. And
I really agree with Roz. I think, you know, we're a small community halfway between San Francisco and L.A., and the opportunity for literary and cultural events, especially that are subsidized like these are and almost free, if not free, it is limited. And so I think there is a hunger for people to have access to that kind of thing. And we do try to, you know, we don't, people say, oh, why don't you have a murder mystery as your book of the year? It's like, you know, you can read a murder mystery on your own. I read murder mysteries, fine. But that's not our point here. We want to have an out-of-town author that's a bestseller, a big name, somebody that we pay to bring here and that is a little up there, and have a book that you can kind of chew on a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't agree. You know, somebody said to me today, I didn't like that book. Why did you choose it? I said, well, you have your opinion. That's fine.
It makes for a richer discussion.
Yeah.
I think that answers the question I was on the verge of asking, that in any book club, friends and acquaintances, not everyone's going to like the book that the group chooses, and I'm sure there's mechanisms to deal with that. One thing I notice, if you walk into a library at any given time, public library or community college library, there's lots of people doing lots of different things, but oftentimes it's solitary. A person reading a newspaper or looking up something on the internet. There are some group activities like story times or classes, but the hunger that I hear Roz talk about for people not only to read a good book but to share it with somebody and maybe get to know that person through the book, that's, I think, significant in the world that can often be anonymous and a little lonely.
I think people are looking for, you know, we connect virtually, and that's certainly a legitimate way to connect. But I see people really wanting that in-person, face-to-face connection, and particularly, you know, to talk about something they're excited about and interested in.
And hopefully stretches their mind. Some of the other themes that we've dealt with in the past are incarceration, foster children, and those are not, and again, we've gotten complaints, oh, that's such an unhappy topic. Why did you choose that book? It's like, well,
it's there.
You know,
it's there. We should all be discussing
right,
things like this.
Yeah. These are things that could stand to be discussed.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't want to, that's fine, but we'd like to throw that out there. So,
yeah.
Have people made suggestions over the years on how to grow the festival or the activities or things that you were able to incorporate?
Usually they say get a bigger building, which we can't just go out and do easily. Sometimes they have well-meaning suggestions. Our shtick is to have the author come on campus. We've gotten requests for Tolstoy and, you know, War and Peace as the featured book and author, or Moby Dick and Herman Melville. It's like, well, I don't think we can bring them
the
on
author
campus.
To campus.
Maybe a seance.
It's a little hard.
Certainly there's an immediacy, an excitement if the author can actually be there.
Do the book signing, questions, all of that. Yeah.
That's always a criteria for our selection. But the community certainly is always welcome to participate in suggesting titles that they would like to see as potential Book of the Year.
And how would they do that?
Probably the best thing to do is go to the Cuesta Book Facebook page, and you can just post them there, Cuesta Book at Facebook, and I'll take a look at those. We then funnel them to our committee each year, and we kind of sift through all the different Tolstoy and Melville and everything else, and then we have a process. We look for maybe a theme that we haven't tackled before and see if that's bubbling up, and then we really have to go out and price and shop and see about availability and so forth.
Right, we dwindled this one down from about 10 choices, I believe,
How much ahead of time do you get started on?
It's now a year-round process. It wasn't initially, but really, so Tovar will be here mid-March. We'll kind of, do a debriefing in April. And then really by May, we start pondering those suggestions and starting to investigate and read.
Could you please mention once again the details of the visit of the author and when that's going to happen?
Tuesday, March 15th, coming up in about a month. 5 to 7 p.m., Hector Tovar will be at the San Luis campus of Cuesta College at the CPAC. Tickets are $5 general admission. Cuesta students can attend for free. They do need to call in and reserve their tickets. And those that want to purchase their tickets, I would do so quickly because it does fill up fast. And you can do that by going to the CPAC, www.cpactickets. The Cuesta ticket line.
Yeah, CPAC tickets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What about parking?
Parking, we pay for the parking that night. So if you're in parking lot 2, which is adjacent to the theater building, no worries. You're good.
Ooh.
This is one of the most
very efficient.
Thrift efficient
yes.
Programs.
This is a bargain.
On the Central Coast, Terry.
Yeah, we pay you
live auction, free parking. Cheap ticket, and sometimes some snacks.
Yeah. I think community members would be surprised to know that the authors, it's usually a fairly substantial cost to bring the author to campus, and that's supported through a variety of fundraising, so we can make it available at little or no cost to people.
Right. A lot of times people will come up and say, oh, it's so nice that these authors show up for free. It's like, they don't. And why should they? I mean,
No, I understand. And years and years ago when we were still doing at the library, the Central Coast Book and Author Festival, somebody said, I forget which president it was, but let's get the First Lady here. She'd be great for the Central Coast. And then another person said, well, I wonder how many requests she gets. Or any First Lady would get in any given year or week or day, and way more than there are hours in the day, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probably the more famous a person is, the further out you have to make the arrangements.
Well, and the bigger the check.
Yeah, the honorarium. Then there, we frequently get asked about Barbara Kingsolver. She doesn't do speeches. She doesn't do outreach, so that's not even a possibility. She's concentrating on her writing. She's already done that kind of thing, and so some authors just flatly say, don't contact me. I'm not doing that kind of thing now.
You'd have that on the list. I think it was interesting, the comment of a couple of minutes ago about why can't we have a happy book or an historic book, and I was thinking of one of my favorite authors, James Ellroy, who wrote a lot of crime fiction about L.A., and some of his heroes are cops with bad habits, cops that are a little bent, if you will. They do good things, but they have the dark side. And one of his police friends said, James, why don't you ever talk about good policemen? And he said, good policemen don't make good fiction. In other words, if you're going to have something that's going to put you on the edge of your seat, what's going to happen next and be exciting, there has to be some risk, some danger, some uncertainty. It can't all be, happy picking flowers in the meadow.
Yeah. Well, and we've kind of gone back and forth with nonfiction as well as fiction. There's no set. We don't go into it with any set choice for the next year. Mm-hmm. We kind of see what bubbles up.
Yeah, it could be nonfiction, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Sure, the Piper Kerman book was a nonfiction, her memoir of her time in prison, Orange is the New Black. That was quite a success.
Now, you had her, and then all of a sudden it's a TV show, correct?
Well, we totally benefited from her rise with the TV show. And the timing that which we had engaged her. So that was just luck. I mean, we didn't even need publicity. She was already getting it with the TV show. So.
And kind of the same with Hector Tovar with his newer book about the Chilean miners.
And the movie 33 came out this fall. So we've benefited from authors on the rise, mm-hmm. and people are so excited to see them come to, you know, our community. So
that's actually something we're kind of tuned into now, too. We're looking, so we look for a good author, we look for suggestions from people, we see who we can afford, who's available, but we're also looking for kind of that interest arc for an author. So, for example, Tovar, this book that we're featuring, The Barbarian Nurseries, is from 2, 3, 4 years ago. It was first released. Now, though, he has this new wave of popularity with the deep down dark Chilean mine disaster. So we're kind of piggybacking on that.
And they're making a movie about mm-hmm. that, too, I believe.
Came out in the fall, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
That was an incredible talk about being on the edge of your seat. What was going to happen to those miners? How could they stand it? And I gathered from looking up Mr. Tovar on the internet that he was the exclusive person that was given the rights to speak with them.
Correct.
And tell their story and make sure that if there was any money coming the way, that they would get a fair share of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome. And, of course, you're looking at a person who is clearly a bilingual and bicultural person, mm-hmm. who can hang in the barrio or go to a Chilean copper mine,
right.
but also teach a class at the University of Oregon. And,
right.
And certainly one of my dreams would be that more and more people in this country would be bilingual and be able to shift back and forth. Certainly that would be a good thing. Well, what would be some takeaways? What would you like to leave our audience with, some thoughts about why they should get involved and how they can get involved in this program?
Well, we're going to be having book discussions at 7 different public libraries throughout the county. You can go to our Facebook page or go to the library website, www.slowlibrary.org, to find out more information about that. We have other community events, Ballet Folklorico, the Tour to Tijuana, a visit from Catholic Charities, and a discussion about immigration. So please check the website to see all of those lead-up events and also the film events, too.
And then there's one other tie-in that's happening at Cuesta. That's the Educate Si Se Puede Conference, and that's something the college does every year, and it's geared for Latino and Latina high school students to inspire them and help them understand that they can go to college and kind of pave that way. So that's another thing that's happening just a couple days after the author event. So that's March 18th. So you can also sign up if you're a local high school student to attend that.
I know that the county library has done outreach to the Latino community a lot over the years. Cuesta has some great programs, the OPS and others,
right.
going on to help those people, young and old, take their rightful place in our society, make a contribution, and, right. and be welcomed. This has been Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library, for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, we were joined by Denise Forey, librarian at Cuesta College, Roz Perini, regional manager with the County Library in San Luis Obispo, and Jackie Kinsey, the Morro Bay branch manager or librarian. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.